Let me clarify one thing real quick. Many of you, I've been friends for a long time. You've probably seen a few emails the last couple of weeks. I'd recently executed the sale of Paragon Economics to EMI Analytics, which is part of AgriStats, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I'm vice president of pork analysis for EMI Analytics now. So Paragon Economics is no more, I guess, is the thing. Or, well, it is, but they own it, and I don't. So vice president of pork analysis for EMI Analytics. So, questions? But let's talk about, probably ought to tell them a little bit before I have questions, shouldn't I? Nope, sorry, you got to ask the questions today. Let's talk about what's going on in the hog markets. Obviously, this first quarter of this year was disappointing as prices went down. It is our take that the real driver of that and the first domino that fell that caused that was the West Coast port situation, which backed some product up and really put domestic buyers of pork in a very advantageous position where they could kind of sit back and wait for the market to come to them. As prices began to fall at the wholesale level and at the producer level, there was a very strong incentive to speed up marketings. If you know they're going to be worth less next week, you want to ship them this week. And so that pushed hog numbers higher during the first quarter of the year as we kind of hurried these hogs to town. And we started dropping weights, which was the evidence that we were pulling hogs forward. That added to the supply situation. In addition, we had the added pressure of more weaned pigs than what we had expected to have over the winter because of a very mild, especially by comparison to a year ago, season for PEDV. Our calculations show we know that pig death losses were not zero, but they weren't very far off from that. If we look back to the December Hogs and Pigs report, the December through February litter size published by USDA in March was almost exactly the size that we had forecast if PEDV losses had been zero. And so a very mild winter on PEDV has added to the number of pigs that we have coming. And so we had large numbers of hogs forcing hogs out of finishing barns because we were taking them to much heavier weights. And so those weights have come down. It was kind of the perfect storm, and I know that term gets used too much, but every factor was really negative on the supply side for hogs and on the export demand side, and it pushed these prices down lower than what we ever expected them to do. Now, the March Hogs and Pigs report came out and told us what we already knew, that market hog inventories were up substantially over 7% versus a year ago. But we always have to remember that we were comparing to 2014, and that is a complete outlier year that is so outlier that we're probably not going to use any of the 2014 numbers in analysis. We'll just go back to the 2013 numbers and say that was an oddball, and so we're comparing to that to do price forecasts at this point. Said we had about 7% more market hogs. There were a few surprises in that report. The biggest one was that the breeding herd was only up 2.2%. Analysts had expected it to be up 3.5%. It was up 3.7% year on year in December. We know that the breeding herd is growing. When we talk to breeding stock companies, gilt supplies are spoken for well out into 2016 at this point, so we know there's more growth coming. The thing that I really thought coming out of the March Hogs and Pigs report, though, was that in spite of these larger supplies, we would start seeing some turnarounds on the demand side that would help us, and in fact we have. We've rallied these hog prices back up into the low to mid 80s. Hog futures have hit somewhere in the range that we thought, 84, 85 for the summer on occasion here recently. The opportunities for producers have gone from back in March. The futures market had losses of $6 a head in it. Now it's got profits of roughly $10 per head in it for this year. Every contract on the board right now is profitable relative to where costs are. And so we've seen a nice rally here back to about the price forecast that we had coming out of the March Hogs and Pigs report, which were pretty bullish relative to most analysts at the time. I felt like I was out on another pretty shaky limb there, but it certainly has kind of borne us out as we've gone through the summer. As we look forward, our big concern is certainly the rate of growth that we have. And the big risk issue out there is what happens to PEDV in the winter of 15-16. Paul and David and Liz have not given me any assurances that this has gone away yet. And in fact, if I talk to the veterinarians, they all start kind of kicking the ground and hemming and hawing and saying, well, it could be pretty bad again. They sound like a bunch of economists. Which they always want to try to sound like economists, so I don't know why they have a problem with that. But, I shouldn't have said, are you guys done talking today? I'll keep hammering on you if you are. That's the risk issue going forward. We see robust growth in this herd. There was a lot of folks that hadn't really grown their operations for a few years because of high costs. This corn crop and bean crop are about as normal as can be as far as planting timing, as far as condition. Right now, my judgment is we're a decent rain in July and a decent rain in August away from having very large crops once again. And so feed costs are going to be low. Everything points to expansion. And we have this little scepter of packing capacity hanging out here. We're going to be okay this fall, even with our larger numbers than we had versus 14. But if we grow this breeding herd 2 to 3 to 3.5% over the next 3 or 4 quarters, by the fourth quarter of 2016, we're going to be needing 2.5 to 2.6 million per week spaces, and we don't have that many spaces. Now, our packers can run above their rated capacity for short periods of time. That's kind of a fuzzy number because they can work. A few more of them will work on Saturdays. Some of them will work extended hours. So I think we'll get through 16 okay. It's going to be tight. 15. But 16 is going to be tight. And if we run in that 2.55 to 2.6 maybe a million head for very long, it could have some real negative market impacts in 16. And the two new plants that have been announced, which are welcome announcements, but they're not going to be here in time for the fall of 2016. They'll both be online in 17. So a pretty good outlook. Nothing like 2014, but, Ned and I won't live long enough to see another one of them. We kind of hope, because obviously it was driven by the shortages of pigs caused by PEDV. So with that, I'm sure I've left out some things you want to know about, but I'll let you ask questions so I don't ramble too long. Chad. Avian influenza has not had an impact of any degree on the meat sector yet. It's had huge impacts on the egg sector. And we know that that's an important thing, and it's going to really affect the baked goods side because of this impact in the Midwest on cracked eggs and liquid egg products. That's where you're going to see it first. But on the meat side, the only real thing that's happened on the meat side is we have lost about 2.5% of the turkeys that we normally have, and we are going to have some positive influence probably on ham prices as we go into the holidays just because there aren't going to be as many turkeys available this fall. That's the only impact that we've seen so far. The big thing, the big hammer that's sitting there on this market relative to avian influenza is, do we ever get it in a major broiler area? We haven't had that yet. In fact, the broilers that are in Minnesota, which Golden Plump owns virtually all of those, have still not been hit, even though they're kind of intermingled among all those turkeys. The one that really caused everybody to kind of start flinching was when we had the turkey break in Boone County, Arkansas. Because you start getting avian influenza into a major broiler area, then you've got a real hit. Now, that's a good case in point, though, of one turkey farm in Arkansas has stopped all of the exports, virtually all the exports of chicken out of Arkansas to Mexico. And so what have leg quarter prices done? They've gone from 40 cents down to 31. I mean, it's been leg quarters have tanked because of that one state not being able to export. So, the nervousness here is what happens this fall when the birds fly back south, if wild birds are really the vector of this disease or a major vector, and they fly over Arkansas, East Texas, Eastern Oklahoma, which is a major concentration of birds. The other one is that how much of that's getting mixed around up in Canada, and then some of those birds fly back down the Atlantic flyway. And that one's the really scary one because you've got North Carolina, Alabama, Georgia, which is 4-2-1 on the rankings on broilers. So haven't had a big impact on meat yet. It will have some impact because of the turkey thing. The bullet that we're sweating is what happens on the broiler thing, especially this fall. Now, there's some evidence, and we've talked about it some, that you know one of the things we have here is broilers, because of their production cycle, they don't live very long. And there's some evidence that there's an interplay of this virus with sexual maturity and some of that in some of these animals. It's one of the reasons it hits turkeys, because they actually become sexually mature as they're growing. Broilers never live that long, and so we don't know for sure on that. That seems to help. I'd probably defer to some of the people that know more about the poultry industry, but this broiler thing is the one that's the thing we're all sweating. And I'll make one other point. While there will be some positive market impacts from the turkey losses, avian influenza is different than PEDV because PEDV had no export impact. Avian influenza has export impacts, so it has very negative market impacts when export bans go into place. One of the reasons, you know, turkey thigh meat has fallen out of bed as well, because you can't export any product out of Minnesota. Okay, so there's a negative consequence of avian influenza that was not there with PEDV. PEDV's impact was generally positive just because it reduced the supply of pigs.